Blog Talk Radio.
Stevie B's Media Production is a part of the Shellcaster Network.
The proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ by members of the Churches of Christ with your host, Stevie R. Butler. You're listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show.
There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waves, and the light,
and the light,
and the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save,
and the light,
and the light, and the light. We will spread.
Good evening, wherever you are in the world listening to this radio broadcast. Stevie B's Media Production presents the Gospel Light Radio Show. I'm your host this evening, Stevie R. Butler. And this radio show is being broadcast from Stevie B Media Production at the Carolina Studio in the great state of North Carolina with my co-host Glenn McMillian from the state of Texas, Dr. Frank Washington Jr. from the state of Florida, Stanley Hubbard from the state of Indiana, Clay Phillips from the state of Georgia, Steve Carter from the state of Illinois, Manuel B. Jonathan Sr. from the state of Alabama, Yusuf Ford from the state of Indiana, and John Foster from the state of North Carolina. Ladies and gentlemen, we are just grateful for the privilege made to bring you a program where we as Christians and members of the Churches of Christ can share our faith and preach and teach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ on a weekly basis. If you'd like to contact us while we're on the air this evening, just give us a call to the live show at 319-527-6776. Or you can go to the Blog Talk Radio website and listen to the show live there. There are over 1,700 live shows on that Blog Talk Radio website. And this show, you will consistently see it on pages 1-4 of that website. What a blessing. If you have any questions or comments for any of my co-hosts on this broadcast, you can send your emails to my new email address, butlersteve1009@yahoo.com, or you can call the Stevie B's Media Production at the Carolina Studio at 910-491-6405. Now, again, this program is brought to you by members of the Churches of Christ, and if you need any assistance locating a congregation in your area, please feel free to contact us. Now, folks, get out your Bibles and stand along with us here on the Gospel Light Radio Show.
You're listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show.
Before we go into our program for this evening, I would ask that you would bow with me in a word of prayer that we may thank God for this opportunity. Our most kind, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for allowing us to go through the various activities of the day and placing it on our hearts that we are on this broadcast and we are prepared now to present a portion of your holy and divine word. Father, we pray that you will be my co-host on the show this evening who will be making their proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And also my co-host will be answering the questions that are on the hearts of so many. We just pray that you will continue to bless their families that support their efforts. They may continue to sow the seed of the kingdom. Father, we pray that you will be with my listeners who are tuning in via Blog Talk Radio as well as through social media. We pray that they may listen well, that they may consider their eternal stance before you and that their hearts may be pricked. And it will cause them to ask the question, what must I do to be saved? Father, thank you so much for sending the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who died such a cruel death on Calvary's cross. For we recognize that without such a sacrifice, we will not have a hope of eternal life. Father, even now, we ask you to forgive us for the transgressions of our own heart. We know our flesh is weak, and we often fall short of thy will. For I pray that you will continue to bless us, keep us and love us all the days of our lives. And if we have been faithful until death, Father, we pray that you will save us. For it's in Christ's name we do ask it all. Amen.
You're listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show.
In the first segment of the broadcast, my co-host Manuel B. Jonathan Sr., he serves as the evangelist for the Adams Street Church of Christ there in Enterprise, Alabama. He'll be making his proclamation of the gospel of Christ. And to close out the show, we have a question from my social media platform on Facebook called Shout It Out that my co-host Steve Quote will be answering. He serves as the evangelist for the East Park Church of Christ there in Danville, Illinois. He'll be answering our question in that segment. So open up your Bibles now and open your minds, and let's have a great show after the break. The next voice here will be that of my co-host, Manuel B. Jonathan Sr. Enjoy the show.
You're listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show. You're listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show. Give your attention to the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Brother Stevie B. Good evening to all our listeners out there in Radio Land. Welcome to the Gospel Light Radio Show. I'm your host for this segment of the show. My name is Dr. Manuel B. Jonathan Sr., the minister of the Adams Street Church of Christ, located in Enterprise, Alabama. And I'm coming to you with a message of hope and joy during this blessed holiday season. Tonight, we'll be diving into the Word of God, focusing on Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. Our lesson title for this evening is Joy to the World, the Gift of Jesus. Joy to the World, the Gift of Jesus. And as we reflect on these powerful verses, we'll explore how the birth of Christ brought tidings and great joy to all the people, a joy that continues to resonate in our hearts today. And so let's open the Word of God and get right into our lesson this evening. Luke chapter 2, verses number 10 and 11, the Bible says, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord.'" These words spoken by an angel to humble shepherds herald the greatest event in human history, the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this announcement wasn't just for a select few. It was news of great joy for all people. Today we'll explore why the gift of Jesus brings so much joy to the world and how we can embrace and share that joy in our own lives. As we do this, first let's consider the source of this joy. And as we consider the source of this joy, we have to understand that it begins with God's incredible love for humanity. The Bible tells us in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." You see, this love is the well from which our joy flows. And moreover, the birth of Jesus, it fulfilled ancient prophecy, as we read in Isaiah chapter 9. Verses 6 and 7. But the Bible says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called a Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." You see, the joy we experience is rooted in the faithfulness of God and his promise. And lastly, Jesus brings us the hope of salvation. As the angel told Joseph in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." You see, this hope is the foundation of our joy. This hope is the true foundation of our joy. Now, let's dive deeper into why Jesus is such a precious Savior. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 14, Jesus is described as the perfect sacrifice. Look at what he said. He said, "How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our conscience from acts that led to death, so that we might serve the living God?" And then through this sacrifice, we are reconciled to God. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses number 18 and 19. The Bible says, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to him in Christ, not counting people's sin against them. And my friends, with this reconciliation comes the promise of eternal life. As John 3 and the verse of number 36 ensures us, where the Bible says, whosoever believeth in the Son has eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. Isn't that some good news? But this joy isn't meant to be kept to ourselves. It's not meant to just be talked about at one time of the year, December 25th. This joy is not to be kept to ourselves. Jesus commanded us in Matthew chapter 28 and verses 19 to 20. He said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. This great commission is not just a command, but an invitation to share in the joy that we found in Christ Jesus with others. We're called to live as examples of Christ's joy. Philippians chapter 4:4 exhorts us, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, rejoice. You see, our joy should be evident to all, a testament of the transforming power of Christ in our life. This joy that we're talking about, this joy isn't dependent on circumstances, but on the unchanging nature of God and his promise, and his promises. And as we share this joy by serving others as Jesus served, he said in Mark chapter 10 and verse number 45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Our service to others is a practical demonstration of the love and joy we've received from Jesus. Now, I know some of you might be thinking, but how can I be joyful when life is so hard? How can I have this type of joy when things just seem so hard and life is so hard? Well, I'm glad you asked that question, because the beauty of Christian joy is that it persists even during difficult times. James chapter 1 and verses number 2 and 4. Get your Bibles. James chapter 1 and verse number 2 through 4. It tells us, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. You see, this joy is accompanied by a peace that defies understanding. As Paul writes in Philippians chapter 4, in verse number 7, he says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. But let's dig a little deeper into this concept of joy in all circumstances. You see, it's important to understand that Christian joy is not the same as happiness. Let me say that again. Christian joy is not the same as happiness. You see, happiness Happiness is an emotion that fluctuates based on our circumstances. But joy is a state of being that comes from our relationship with God. The Apostle Paul is a prime example of someone who maintained joy in the face of adversity. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, in verses number 24 through 28, he lists the hardships that he endured. Look at what he said. He said, 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent the night and day in the open seas. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from the rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at the sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressures of my concern for all the churches. Yet despite all of this, despite all of what Paul went through, all of those sacrifices and all of those beatings and all of those starving and all of those lonely days at the sea, Paul could still write in Philippians chapter 4 and verses number 11 through 13. Now, the same man that experienced all that, at the same time, he could still write. And look at what he said in Philippians chapter 4 and verses number 11 through 13. He said, I am not saying this because I'm in need, for I've learned to be content in whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. You see, this joy and contentment that comes from a deep relationship with Christ. It's not dependent on external circumstances, but on the internal reality of God's presence and promise. So you might be asking, how can we cultivate this kind of joy in our lives? That's a good question. And let me suggest a few practical steps. Step number one, stay connected to the source. Did you hear that? Stay connected to the source. You see, just as branches cannot bear fruit unless it remains on the vine, we cannot experience true joy unless we remain connected to Christ. John chapter 15, verses number 4 through 5. And so this means prioritizing our relationship with God, and we prioritize our relationship with God through prayer, through Bible study, through worship. Second, practice gratitude. Practice gratitude. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses number 16 through 18, Paul writes, pray always, pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You see, gratitude shifts our focus from what we lack to what we have, fostering joy even in difficult times. And thirdly, serving others, as we mentioned earlier. Oh, we have so much to be grateful for. Not just in this holiday season, but every day of our lives. So me, as a child of God, yes, I'm going to celebrate this Christmas season, but I celebrate the birth of Jesus every day of my life. I worship God Almighty, and I celebrate the birth of Jesus and the sacrifice that he made for us every day of my life, every Sunday. Every Sunday is Christmas in my life. And if you're here and you heard this message, I want to extend an invitation to you to partake in this joy that we have as Christians. And I want to extend the opportunity to you to become a Christian. You see, each one of us one day will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And we will be responsible for obeying the Lord. Now, I want you to understand that salvation has two parts. Yes, salvation has two parts. God's part and man's part. God, because of his great love for mankind, has done his part in sending Jesus to die for the sins of men. Remember we mentioned John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Paul calls this grace the gift of God in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8. You see, we cannot save ourselves and must rely on God through faith. And through faith, that means that man must also do his part. Because no one, and listen to this, no one benefits from gifts until he what? Until he receives it. So you can't benefit from the gift until you receive it. And you do that by hearing the gospel. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says, for that faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. John chapter 8 and verse number 32, the Bible says, that ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What are we talking about? We're talking about the gospel, the good news, the message that I've been talking about. You must hear the gospel to understand it. You must hear the gospel, and you must recognize that you're lost without Jesus. No matter who you are, no matter your background, no matter how much money you have, the Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 23. You got to believe the gospel. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Then the Bible lets us know you have to repent of all past sin. Acts chapter 17 and verse number 30, the Bible says, in the time of this ignorant God winked, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent. Then you have to confess your faith in Jesus. Romans chapter 10, verse 10, it says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then you have to be baptized for the remission of your sins. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 38. And then Mark chapter 16 and 16. The Bible says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You go down in the water of grave of baptism, come up a new creature, live faithful unto death, and he'll give you a crown of life in heaven when he comes. Revelations chapter 2 and verses number 10. If you would like to respond to the gospel call message, this message, I want you to give us a call here at the Gospel Light Radio Show, and we will put you in connection with the right individual that can get you in the water and get you on the right track. So give us a call here at the radio station. We would like to hear from you. Let us know. Talk to us. And we want you to have a great rest of your evening. We really appreciate your time. And we pray that we have said something that pricks you in your heart and makes you ask that question, what must I do to be saved? So as we close here, we want to go to God in prayer. We want to go to God in prayer. And after the prayer, we'll turn it back over to Stevie B. So let's go to God in prayer. Dear gracious God, our Father in heaven, we come to you in prayer, Father, thanking you for allowing us to see this beautiful day, Father. We thank you for allowing us to see this day, Father. We thank you for all your blessings, Father. All the blessings, the food we have, the clothes we have, our transportation, our shelter, the air that we breathe, Father, we are so thankful for everything that you do for us and that you continue to do for us, Father. We love you and we thank you. We take nothing for granted because we know we wouldn't have anything. We wouldn't be anything. We wouldn't have anything if it wasn't for you, Father. We are so thankful, Father. We most of all thank you for your son, Jesus, who died so that we could have a chance of everlasting life. Father, we pray for all those out there that may be going through difficult times in their life during this holiday season. Father, we want you to help each one of us to be strong, help each one of us to know and understand how much you love us, Father, and how much you care for us, Father. We pray that those that's out listening to this message tonight, Father, we pray that they will internalize this message, Father, and if they have not obeyed the gospel yet, Father, they'll reach out to us so that we can put them in connection with the right people so they can be saved. Father, we pray you'll continue to bless us and guide us and direct us and keep us in your arms of care. In your son's name, we pray it all. Amen. We're going to turn it back over to Brother Stevie B. Thanks, everybody.
You're listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show.
It ain't easy. No. Sometimes it gets hard down here, Lord. Sometimes it gets rough. So rough, so rough. Sometimes it gets tough for me. Has anybody been lonely all by yourself? Has anybody been sad, broken hearted and sad? Have you even been met? Oh, you had to cry all night long. I know it's hard, but what of being misused, abused and abused. I get tired, so tired, so tired of being lied on, stepped on.
Listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show.
This is a program reminder. Stevie B's Media Production presents. We're airing live shows here on Blog Talk Radio. The telephone number to the live show is 319-527-6776. And the website is www.blogtalkradio.com/Gospel Light Radio Show. On Tuesday, I'm hosting a live show, What a Word from the Lord radio show. This show will air every second, third, and fourth Tuesday of the month. The second Tuesday of the month, the show will air from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. And we have a guest speaker from the Brotherhood of the Churches of Christ who will be making their proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Also during that show, we have the Community Corner segment. That segment will be hosted by my co-host, Kelly Fletcher. She serves with the Livingstone Church of Christ in Indianapolis, Indiana. And this segment is designed for small business owners and entrepreneurs who have products and services to offer in our communities. Also have two other co-hosts on that show, Lou Gilbert. He serves with the Tammany Church of Christ there in Houston, Texas. And my other co-host, Isa Mullins. He serves as the evangelist for the Helen Street Church of Christ in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Then on the third Tuesday of the month, That show will air from 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. And my co-host is Dr. Etherica Lane. She's a board-certified obstetricianist and gynecologist, and she serves with the Church of Christ at the Kennedy Heights in Cincinnati, Ohio. And she'll be hosting her show, Conversations with Dr. Lane. And on the fourth Tuesday of the month, that show will air from 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. And my co-host is Paul Sanders. He serves as the evangelist for the Smithsonian Church of Christ in Florence, Alabama. And he'll be hosting his show, The Paul Sanders Show. Then on Thursday evening, I'm hosting the live show, the Gospel Light Radio Show. That show will air from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. And there are eight co-hosts on that show, Clay Phillips from the state of Georgia, Dr. Frank Washington from the state of Florida, Steve Corder from the state of Illinois, Manuel B. Jonathan from the state of Alabama, Glenn McMillian from the state of Texas, Stanley Hubbard from the state of Indiana, and Yusuf Ford from the state of Indiana, and John Foster from the state of North Carolina. On this show, these gentlemen will be presenting lessons from the Word of God, and each week I have two of my co-hosts on the air with me. I'm also taking a question from my social media platform on Facebook called Shout It Out that I'll be posing to one of my co-hosts on that live show. Then on Friday night, I'm hosting the live show, Stevie B's Acapella Gospel Music Blast, and this radio show is the 2022 recipient for the NACAMA, National Academy of Christian Acapella Music Artists Award for Outstanding Achievement in Record or Radio. This show will air from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8 to 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. And on this show, I'm playing some of the world's greatest acapella gospel music artists, the sweet sounds of voices. We're also interviewing artists, producers, writers, and we're also debuting new music and featuring old music on that show as well. And every 3 months, every quarter, I'm doing my top 20 countdown show. And we also have on-demand episodes. There's a variety of musical platforms that you can listen to these shows on: Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Apple iTunes, YouTube, just to name a few. And we also have recorded version shows as well. And these shows were album debuts mostly. And you can, I use the same playlist for these shows from Blog Talk Radio. And these shows can only be heard on iHeartRadio, on Deezer, and also on Amazon Music. Just search for Stevie B Recorded Version Shows. We also want to thank all of our sponsors who are sponsoring these radio shows. If you want to become a sponsor, just contact my sponsorship manager, Michelle Marco, from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Her telephone number is 954-687-4705. The three E's of Stevie B Media Production, it is the objective of this broadcast. We want to educate, we want to edify, want to encourage you in a study of God's Word. And that will conclude our program announcements.
You're listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show.
And if you miss me from singing, and you can't find me nowhere, come on up to glory. I'll be singing the
faith.
Yes, I will. And I know the Lord, He will greet me
over yonder,
over on the other shore. The glory, I'll be praising the
best.
Heard a minister say to the other day, Lord, going to heaven,
over
on the other shore, the glory.
I'll
be singing the faith. Yes, I will. And I know the Lord, He will greet me
over
on the other shore,
over on the other shore.
Way over yonder.
find me nowhere. Come on up to glory. I'll be praising up there. I'll be praising up there. I'll be praising up there. Down on my knees, down on my knees, Lord. I'll be praising up there.
Listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show. Shout it out question.
Good evening, Stevie, and thank you for having me on the program once again, and welcome to everybody listening on the Blog Talk platform or whatever platform you happen to be on. If you're watching this online, if you wouldn't mind, hit that subscribe bar and then the notification bell when it comes up so you can be notified whenever content is added to the channel. Remember to comment on these videos, like these videos, share these videos. And if you really want to help us out, give us a thumbs up on the algorithms. That somehow helps it. I don't understand it all. But anyway, this is the Shout It Out segment of the program where one of us answers a question that is submitted from a listener. And if you have a question, a Bible-related question you would like us to answer, you can go through Facebook to the Shout It Out page, which is where I got tonight's question, or you can send it to one of the hosts via email or whatever other means. And we will be glad to answer the question that you have on a Bible topic or a Bible text. And so for this evening, we're going to go and look at a question that comes to us from the Facebook Shout It Out group. Now, the question that was put to us today for the Shout It Out segment comes from Dennis Sharp. And this was submitted through the Shout It Out group on Facebook, and you can go there if you have a Bible question, or you can send it to us through email or other social media means, and we'll be glad to answer any Bible-related question on any topic, any text. And this was added by Dennis Sharp, and he asked the question, do Christians acknowledge that the Bible says that slaves should obey their masters? And he specifically cites the New Testament. Now, this answer is actually, it may seem long, but it's actually a very brief answer. I've spent about a day and a half really going over material relative to this subject. And I've taught history, and I'm a minored in history. So, and for various and sundry reasons, I've been putting a lot of thought into this topic about the Bible and slavery and that sort of thing. And it's another discussion for another time, exactly why I've got the interest in it. But to the short, concise answer to his question is a conditional or a qualified yes. It does tell Christians, or the Christians do acknowledge the Bible says slaves should obey their masters. We've got at least three places in the New Testament where Paul said just that. Now, there's some preliminary matters that we need to understand and lay out. First of all, this study will not answer all the questions. It might even create some more questions in the minds of our viewers and our listeners. I know it's created more questions in my mind since I've been studying this the last couple of days. Second, just recording something does not constitute an endorsement. Probably one of the best examples I can think of from the Bible is the Old Testament, 2 Samuel, when David and Bathsheba got together. It simply records what David did. It does not endorse it, doesn't say, hey, that's okay. In fact, we find out about a year later that it was not okay when he is confronted by Nathan the prophet. And we also need to define our terms. What do we mean by chattel? What do we mean by slavery? Well, slavery is easy enough to define. The cultural ontology out of the Logos Bible study, which is what I use in my software for my study and lesson preparation, says it's the forced servitude of a person to another. This can range from a benevolent relationship wherein a slave or servant is bound to his master but is provided for entirely, to a cruel relationship wherein a slave is simply used and barely provided for. And then the Anchor Yale Bible Dictionary makes this note, that slavery is the institution whereby one person can hold ownership rights over another. In the biblical world, this institution took on forms quite unlike the New World slavery practiced in the West, particularly in the 18th and 19th centuries. Now keep that in mind. We're going to come back to that. And some generalities about slavery and the Bible. This is from the Gospel Coalition, Gavin Ortlund, who says that as I seek to explain the truth, beauty, and goodness of the Christian faith to skeptics and atheists, one of the most pressing objections to Christianity I receive is the Bible pro-slavery? The question is difficult enough in itself, but it's further complicated by how Christians have responded to it in some cases. The answers given are unsatisfactory and may even aggravate concerns. For example, sometimes Christians glamorize both the Bible and church history, failing to take seriously how biblical passages have been used to support sinful practices. And many times we don't really pay attention to the sin committed by prominent Christians. And in history, when we look at how scripture has been misused and misapplied. And then from Apologetics Press, Eric Lyons wrote this article in 2018 in their publication called Reason and Revelation. Good publication, great company, kind of a cheap, shameless plug there for Apologetics Press if you want good Bible study materials. But he points out, Eric Lyons pointed out that thousands of years prior to the establishment of the Lord's Church and long before Paul addressed the conduct of Christian slaves in the first century, various forms of slavery were commonplace. In fact, virtually every ancient civilization used slaves. Slavery was prevalent enough in Babylon in the 18th century BC to be mentioned numerous times in the Code of Hammurabi. He was a Babylonian king. We don't read about him in the Bible because he was of a time period before the Bible was recording. And Hammurabi gave us one of the first written legal codes, and he dealt with slavery in that particular code. I haven't read it. I don't know all the ins and outs of what goes into the code. And then Lyons goes on to say that Egyptians enslaved hundreds of thousands of Israelites in the 16th century BC. We see that in Exodus and in Numbers. Historians estimate that by the time Paul wrote his New Testament epistles in the first century AD, 5 to 8 million slaves resided within the Roman Empire, including 15 to 25% of the population of Italy. And then from Hendrickson and Kersmacher's exposition of Colossians and Philemon from their commentary, we see that in ancient times, slavery was widespread, especially among the Greeks. It was common practice to reduce captives and often criminals and debtors to the state of bondage. If you couldn't pay your bills, you could wind up enslaved. On the island of Delos, sometimes as many as 10,000 slaves were sold in a single day. Among the Romans, the lot of the slave seemed to have been more cruel than among the Greeks. The slave was not considered to have any rights. The law afforded him no protection. To be sure, there were recorded instances of masters who were kind to their slaves, but these were the exceptions. It is not surprising that a civilization which looked upon all foreigners as barbarians upon labor as unworthy of a free man and as vulgar. And barbarian, that's the original meaning. It was a name that the Greeks simply gave to anyone who didn't speak Greek. That, of course, has a different meaning for us today. Now, slavery in the ancient Middle East was different than slavery as we know it in American history. In fact, I would say it's apples and oranges. Because many times slavery in the Old Testament, in those days, was the spoils of war. And one of the best known biblical examples of that is in 2 Kings chapter 5, where Naaman has a slave girl who's an Israelite. And verse 2 says, the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back a captive, a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. So here they are raiding. They find this girl, bring her back. And here, Mrs. Naaman, you've got a servant girl now, is basically how it worked out. And if you notice the artwork here, I've got two slides here showing different interpretations. Here is one. She looks like she, I don't know, is maybe 11, 12. And in this one, she looks like she's probably about 6 or 7. We don't know how old she was. But this was one way to do it. The spoils of war. Somebody gets captured and you take them back and you enslave them. We see that with the whole nation. When Assyria or Babylon or whoever came in and conquered the land, they would take a lot of Israelites back to Babylon or Assyria or wherever they came from. And then there was also indentured servitude. Now, we did have this in American history. And this is when among Israelites, going back to Hendrickson and Kersmacher, among the Israelites, an impoverished person could sell himself in order to pay his debts. But his condition was in reality not that of slavery, but rather that of mild indenture, voluntary apprenticeship. And the way it would work in our history was someone wanted to come over from Europe. They would indenture themselves for a period of time. I think it was usually 7 years. So they were in service to maybe whoever owned the ship they wanted on or some other business or apprentice type situation. And then at the end of the 7 years, they were cut loose. And here is the Levitical teaching guidelines on indentured servitude. If one of your brethren who dwells by you becomes poor and sells himself to you, you shall not compel him to serve as a slave. As a hired servant and a sojourner, he shall be with you and shall serve you until the year of Jubilee, which was every 50 years. Then he shall depart from you, he and his children with him, and shall return to his own family. He shall return to the possession of his fathers. Now notice verse 40 and 41. And he shall serve you until the year of Jubilee, and then he shall depart from you. You'll give him his freedom. That's more the indentured servitude that we had. And then Exodus 21 says, now these are the judgments which you shall set before them. If he's God talking to Moses. If you buy a Hebrew servant, you shall serve 6 years, or he shall serve 6 years. And in the seventh, you shall go free and pay nothing. So slavery as it existed in Bible times was usually the spoils of war and indentured servitude. But what about the New Testament? As we see references to slavery there. Well, in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul says, now he's talking here in this context, bondservants and masters. He just got done talking to husbands, telling them to love their wives and children to obey their parents. And he says, bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart as to Christ, but not as with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is slave or free. And you masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there's no partiality with him. And similarly, in Colossians, Paul says, for wives to submit to their own husband. This is very parallel to what Ephesians says. Husbands, love your wives. Remember, critics always get stuck on the wives, submit to your own husbands. But go a little further. Husbands, we are commanded to love our wives. They're not commanded to love us. Children, obey your parents in all things. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, lest they become discouraged. Verse 22, bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ, but he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done. There's no partiality. Whatever you do, remember, ultimately you work for the Lord, whether you're enslaved or free. You work for the Lord. You work at Walmart. You ultimately work for the Lord. You work for McDonald's. You work for the federal government. You're in the military. You, whatever your job is, it may be Walmart on the paycheck, but ultimately as a Christian, you work for the Lord. And then Paul tells the Corinthians that as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk. So I ordained in all the churches. Was anyone called while circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. I've never figured out how you do that, but another discussion for another time. Was anyone called while uncircumcised? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but keeping the commandments of God is what matters. Let each one remain as in the same calling in which he was called. Were you called while a slave, do not be concerned about it. But if you can be made free, rather use it. For he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. And likewise, he who called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Brethren, let each one remain with God in the state in which he was called. So if you are a slave, he says, don't be concerned about it. But if you get the opportunity to be free, use it. And so slavery in the New Testament, you can see Peter and Paul insisted that Christian slaves be obedient to their masters. And we've got scriptures, Ephesians 6, Colossians, 1 Timothy, and Peter, 1 Peter, that is. And slaves were told not to seek their freedom just because of their conversion. Don't expect special treatment just because of your conversion. And there are several words. This is another thing you always have to take into account. We speak 21st century American English. In those days, they spoke first century Koine Greek, two completely different languages. This is the most common word in the New Testament for a slave, and that is doulos, an adjective signifying bondage. It is a noun in Romans chapter 6, verse 19, and the most common and general word for servant. It is used of natural conditions. It is frequently used in the four Gospels. And it is the perfect example of a doulos being Christ himself. And so far as the effects Christianity had on abolishing slavery, honestly, it's a mixed bag. Ignatius wrote to Polycarp, and Polycarp was a disciple of John, the apostle who wrote the Gospel and the other three letters. Polycarp lived well into the second century. And he was cautioned against manumission or emancipating, as the hope of freedom may cause false conversions and detract from slaves seeking after God. So they may, I'll get my freedom if I become a Christian, that sort of thing. But Ignatius said, let them submit themselves the more for the glory of God that they may obtain from God a better liberty. So he seems okay with slavery. Ignatius didn't seem to have much interest in changing the status quo. But at the same time, Christians specifically were the first organized people in history to oppose slavery. In contrast to the entire ancient world, official state-sponsored slave systems were present in ancient Greece, the Roman Empire, the Islamic States, the Caliphate, the Islamic Ottoman Empire, which is modern Turkey, and Egypt, Japan, India, and a whole bunch of other countries. You had there where slavery existed, and then in the Muslims, especially in Europe, Christians were some of the first, if not the first, to organize against them. Now, most slavery that existed in America, as we said, was chattel slavery. And chattel is is any tangible personal property that is movable. So examples would be your furniture, livestock, basically anything you can pick up and walk off with. Is the simplest way I can think to define it. So like your house would not be chattel because you can't pick it up and walk off with it. That's real property, not personal. Chattel is a catch-all category for property. This is from Cornell University. A catch-all category for property associated with movable goods. And at common law, which is the English common law that we base our laws on, common law, chattel included all property other than real property. Examples include leases, animals, and money. In modern usage, chattel usually only refers to tangible, movable, personal property. So from the 17th to the 19th centuries, about 12.5 million enslaved Africans were brought from Central and West Africa to the Americas. And the colonial system of slavery was practiced in all 13 British colonies. And it's referred to as chattel slavery, and that's where enslaved people were the personal property of their owners for life, and they were a source of labor and commodity. But now in the early 18th century, the kings of Dahomey, and I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, were big slave traders who made a fortune from this illicit trade, and they were dealing in slaves to Africans or to Europeans. And to acquire slaves, they waged bitter wars against their neighbors, resulting in the capture of tens of thousands of prisoners who they constantly sold to European slave merchants. And another prominent slave trader was the king of Wida, now a city in southern Benin, and he was captured apparently during an expedition from the kings of Dahomey. And when we remember that the Dahomey King Giza was a slave trader, while the Egbas of Epa, and I don't know how to pronounce that, but we see at once that the desire for the destruction of Abeokuta was prompted by the necessity of removing any potent obstacle to the economic imperialism of the Dahomey kings. So in effect, Giza was forced to clash with the British interests in these. The British became some of the first, as bad as they were at empire, they became some of the first to eventually outlaw the Atlantic slave trade. Many societies in Africa with kings and hierarchical forms of government traditionally kept slaves, but these were mostly used for domestic purposes. They were an indication of power and wealth and were not used for commercial gain. However, with the appearance of Europeans desperate to buy slaves for use in the Americas, the character of African slave ownership changed. So if biblical teaching had been followed, here's the thing. If biblical teaching had been followed, chattel slavery would never have happened in America. But biblical teaching wasn't, and it came down to the money, I believe, that could be made from being involved in the slave trade. Exodus chapter 21, in verse 12 to 27, is the laws concerning violence. And in verse 16 is particularly relevant to our subject here, our discussion. Where Moses says, God says to Moses, he who kidnaps a man and sells him, or if he is found in his hand, shall surely be put to death. That's the New King James Version, which I preach and teach out of. The English Standard Version says, whoever steals a man and sells him, and anyone found in possession of him, shall be put to death. The NIV says, anyone who kidnaps someone is to be put to death, whether the victim has been sold or is still in the kidnapper's possession. So under the Old Testament, all these slave traders running around and taking slaves to the Americas should have been executed. But we don't live under the Old Testament. We live in the New Testament. But here's where that how that fits in. Paul tells Timothy, 1 Timothy 1, verse 8, but we know that the law is good for one who uses it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless and insubordinate, for the ungodly and for sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers and for fathers and mothers and for manslayers, for fornicators, for sodomites, now watch this, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers, and if there is any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God which was committed to my trust. Now notice that word kidnappers. In the original language, it was an enslaver. It was a man-stealer. It was someone who stole somebody and put them into slavery. It sounds an awful lot like the chattel slavery that we had in America and in Europe and coming out of Western and Central Africa. 1 Timothy 1, the kidnappers steal and sell other people, like in Exodus. So here's the question. The New Testament makes it clear that the value of all people to God. So with that in mind, why didn't Paul or Peter or other biblical writers tell Christians slavery was a sin and put a stop to it? Well, here's the answer. It's a scholarly answer, my best scholarly answer that I can give you. We don't know. And that's pretty much it. We don't know why they didn't put a stop to it and encourage Christians to do the same. But here's what we do know. Christian emancipators who wanted enslaved people to be set free, eventually they feared the anger of God over the sin of slavery and began to see slavery as unjust and evil, campaigned to have it abolished. Now, it's true there were Christians campaigning just the opposite. But when you take the text in 1 Timothy and you look at Exodus, the Christians who sought to abolish it and emancipate the slaves were in the right. Christian groups opposed to slavery found various ways to show opposition, such as the Quakers, or the Society of Friends, they're also known as. Because by 1727, British Quakers had expressed their official disapproval of the slave trade. And in June 1783, a petition from the London Yearly Meeting was signed by over 300 Quakers petitioning Parliament to abolish the slave trade. And in the 18th century, the Catholic Church became increasingly critical of slavery. By 1741, Pope Benedict XIV condemned slavery in general. And John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, denounced slavery as the sum of all villainies and detailed its abuse in a pamphlet published in 1774. And over time, more and more Christians began to oppose slavery. Samuel Sewall, who was the first justice of the Massachusetts Superior Court, published the first anti-slavery pamphlet called The Selling of Joseph, and that was 1700. Now, he had also been involved in the Salem witchcraft trials, and he later publicly recanted his participation. And he stated in his pamphlet that it is wrong to be bringing enslaved people to Boston, that slavery was not the work of God. Now, perhaps not surprisingly, his work had little immediate impact on slavery in Massachusetts. But eventually, more and more New Englanders embraced the abolitionist cause, so that Vermont became the first state to abolish slavery in 1777. That was barely a year after the Declaration of Independence. Then in 1790, Benjamin Franklin sent a letter to Vice President John Adams, enclosing with it a letter from James Pemberton and the petition from the Pennsylvania Society for the Promoting of the Abolition of Slavery. The first U.S. Congress was the intended recipient of all these letters, to which the Pennsylvania Society and the Philadelphia and New York yearly meetings of the Quakers, or the Society of Friends, signed letters promoting the abolition of slavery. The Quakers are really some of the very first ones to get on the anti-slavery bandwagon. So, what conclusions can we draw? Well, slavery was a societal and cultural institution, no denying it. It's recorded in the Bible. It's recorded in pretty much all of human history. The Bible recorded that it happened. Now, why early Christians didn't come out against it, we really can't say for certain. In the Greek of the New Testament, there are 9 different words for slave with different meanings depending on context. God's people were given guidelines for owning slaves. But chattel slavery, as practiced in places like America, was and is a sin. It is not something God ever approved of, and it should never have happened. So that's my lesson for this evening. If anybody out there has any questions about this or any of the other lessons I ever do, you can email me at 2timothy4.2.3@gmail.com, or you can look me up on YouTube, or I'm on Facebook, and you can send your questions, and I'll do my level best to get you a biblical answer back to you. So that's my lesson for this evening. Thanks for having me, Stevie. I hope everybody has a Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year, and we will see you in the new year. Thanks for having me. That's my lesson. I'm done, and I am out.
Shout it out question. You're listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show.
I know, Lord,
I know the Lord,
He'll take care,
take care
of me,
oh yeah,
yes He will. I know the Lord,
I know the Lord,
He'll take care,
take care
of me, call on you,
oh,
and you step
yeah.
in right on time.
Oh, yeah.
I know the Lord,
know the Lord.
He'll take care of me.
Oh, yeah.
When
He will.
Lord, I'm trying every day to walk in the right way. My. it gets hard, hard on this road, it gets so rough. Tell him how he took care of you.
Sometimes I get all by myself. Lord, I don't know, just don't know what to do. I start to look back over my life. And in your word, I know you'll see me through.
I remember not long ago,
he'll take care.
When it seemed like I lost everything but my
he'll
mind,
take care.
And a new friend,
he'll take care.
A friend I could call on,
he'll take care.
In a late midnight hour,
he'll take care.
So I called on the Lord,
he'll take care.
And let me tell you what I found out.
I know the Lord.
See, I know the Lord.
He'll take care.
You're listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's our show. I want to thank you for spending a little time with us this evening in a study of God's Word. I want to thank both of my co-hosts on the show this evening, Manuel B. Jonathan Sr. And Steve Cordell. Both did fine jobs in presenting their proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And also, I certainly appreciate their efforts on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, I am just so thrilled to have faithful gospel preachers on this broadcast who I can depend on week after week to come on these shows and present lessons from the Word of God. I am just so happy to be able to put on a show of such magnitude as this, where I can hear the preaching of the gospel and hear and understand. That's what's important. And I want to thank all of my co-hosts participate on these shows. What a blessing. It is my prayer that these lessons this evening have been beneficial to your spiritual lives and your relationship with the Lord has been strengthened, because you're not only tuning in this radio broadcast, but you've given yourself over to a study of God's Word. So until we meet again, I pray God's continual blessings upon your lives and that He bless you real, real good. You've been listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show. On behalf of all of my co-hosts here at the Gospel Light Radio Show, we really do appreciate your love and support for these programs. I'm your host, Stephen R. Butler. Good night, everybody. God bless you.
You're listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show.
With all the talk, what is your goal? With all the talk, what is your goal? With all the talk, what is your goal? Now that you know, that you know, that you know, that you know, that you know that heaven is my goal. No matter what they're saying, call me and I'll go. I'll tell you, I'm not saying,
Lord, I hear the streets are paved of pure and gold. The breath of God blows gently through my soul. The pearly gates shine, sparkles on a rainbow beam. Lord, I give my all to you. Please make my dreams come true.
Heaven is my goal. Let the talk get safe for two. I believe God knows. I'll never change my mind. Never on the song.
Some have said that heaven is a fairy tale.
On the song.
Silly to believe. That's what they told me, yeah. This world is all the heaven we are gonna get. But here's no perfect peace. That's why I'm leaving. When he comes in the crowd, I'm gonna be ready. When he comes in the crowd, I'll be ready.
Gospel Light Radio Show.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles. Discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store. Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.